Welcome to Lynn Cullen Live, talk radio without the static. Email your questions and comments to lynncullenshow@gmail.com. And now your host, Lynn Cullen.
Yeah, hello there. How you doing? It's the 11th day of January, 2022. I don't know if I'm still putting 2021 on things that I'm writing where I need a date. Susan?
Yes?
How are you?
I'm here.
I'm here.
Well, I just got back from a half hour, 1 degree walk.
Yeah. I bet. I was going to ask, how cold is it in the frozen tundra if it's cold as hell here? Jeez.
Well,
we're in the teens.
Yeah, it was 1 degree, and I refused to listen to what they said the wind chill factor was.
Yeah, right, because what's the
Because
point?
What difference does it make? 1 degree feels plenty cold. It makes no difference to my brain if the wind is making it feel colder. What difference does it make?
I mean, you already have that information because your body says, damn,
it's cold. Yeah. I am, this is my new thing. I want to get rid of the wind chills. I think that's just bull. You know, tell us the temperature.
They never existed. Yeah, give us a temperature.
Tell us how much the wind is blowing, and we'll figure out that it's going to feel colder if it's windy.
Don't they now do a heat thing in the summer, too?
No. Oh, the heat index.
Sure?
Yeah, but it actually feels hotter and you'll explode.
Yeah, but, you know, again, what do you have to be told that for? I don't understand any of it.
And I broke one of my yak tracks.
Uh-oh. Well, those could be replaced. Yak tracks, for those of you who don't know, are these things you put on your shoes or boots. And they make it much safer to walk on ice.
They make it possible to walk your dog all winter.
Yeah, without, you know, fearing imminent death. Yeah, I've got mine on. I mean, I've got a pair of shoes that have them on. Those are my Yak Track shoes.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I was smart enough to bring a second pair. Because there was a pair in Green Bay and I had a pair in Chicago. So I brought a second pair because I thought, I've been using these now for 2 winters. How far can they? Because they're just rubber and springs. And sure enough, the rubber came out of one of the springs.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Speaking of rubber, I have to tell a story. You'll appreciate this story, Susan.
What if I said
and
peony?
What? What if you said what?
Peony. What story would that come up with? Okay, rubber.
No, peony, I can't think of a story, but rubber, definitely. You'll recall, and this is at my expense. This story is going to be at my expense.
They usually are.
Yeah, I'm aware of this. So, Susan, you will know that we spoke yesterday, and I said I was going to make dinner.
Yes, you did.
Myself. And when I told you what I was
making. The recipe.
Right. You said, that sounds good. And so I sent you the recipe. Well, after I talked to you, I ended up talking to your son and his family for a long, long time. By the time I got, while they were eating their dinner, we FaceTimed. And when I got off, it was already like, it was 7:30 and I still hadn't made my dinner. So I quickly ran into the kitchen and tried to like start throwing this stuff together. It's relatively an easy recipe. And I got everything together. Or when you put this, your pan into the 400 degree oven, covered up, you have to put tin foil on the top because you put uncooked pasta in there, right?
You put uncooked what?
Pasta.
Yeah.
Pasta. Yeah. on top of tomatoes and a big brick of feta and garlic and rosemary sprigs and all this stuff. It's wonderfully delicious. And I get to the final part where you cover the thing and stick it in. And lo and behold, I had no tinfoil. Susan?
Yes, you had tinfoil?
I had no tinfoil.
Uh-oh. So? You put something with rubber on it as a cover and put it in the oven.
So what would you do? There's no way. I had to put a thing over a 9 by 12 inch. I had to cover it. What would you cover it with?
Cookie sheet.
Fuck you.
Well, you asked me a question. I gave you the
I didn't think cookie sheet. I thought, I know I have parchment paper. Why? I don't know. Do you know parchment paper?
Sure. You bake with parchment paper.
I know it's this paper you can put in the oven and it won't catch fire and blah, blah, blah. And this is all. I thought, I'll get parchment paper. So I put the parchment paper over it. But then I had to secure it.
So you put a rubber band around it.
I put two rubber bands around the parchment paper. And I remember thinking as I did, I wonder if the rubber can withstand the 400 degree temperature.
I'll give you a quick answer. No. How bad did that smell, Neen, when it melted all over your oven?
Well, so I was sitting in the I took the I put it in and I took the dog out for a walk.
Even worse.
I come back, I open the front door, and damn, I thought, what the hell is that? Because the smell of burning rubber is not a great smell, right?
No, it's up there with burning hair.
Oh! Well, when I raced to the oven and opened it up, it was interesting because what was there was the pan, and then on both sides of the pan, the rubber band had clearly split in two, both bands. And these two strips of rubber were hanging from either side down through the, you know, the little grate thing. And it was a mess. I can't even begin to tell you what a mess. I just wanted you to know.
How did the pasta taste?
Well, there are a few parts that were a little not right, but if you dug around, it tasted okay. And in fact, I ate it, and I have some left over for tomorrow. And the rest where the pasta sort of got rubberized, that is down the drain. But anyway, I'm just telling you, I thought I came up with something that kind of worked, but didn't. Anyway, it was not all a total disaster, but right, the rubber melts.
Rubber melts. Next time, think of cookie sheet. A lid.
Cookie sheet. A lid. Damn. Well, Susan is, as you can probably tell, a better problem solver than I. I panic. Oh, but it was good.
Good.
Really, not bad.
Yeah, I just read through the recipe. What could be bad?
Yeah, the smell that suffused my home was feta and garlic and rosemary. And
rubber.
Burnt rubber bands. I'll tell you. Really very lovely.
Well, I'm just impressed that you're cooking for yourself because it's on the weeks that I'm living by myself in solitary confinement, it's pretty hard.
It's hard. It is hard to do. But I'm making a pot roast today, and I've decided I have to because what else are you going to do? I don't know. I'm not going out. Damn. Okay, the only problem for me is, of course, I make a pot roast and then I eat half of it. Or I make, you know, feta serves eight and I eat half of it. Feta pasta, whatever. But all right, so I'm done. I'm sorry. I thought you would enjoy my haplessness in the kitchen.
But then you get mad at me when I make fun of you for, you know, reminding you of the stories that you tell on yourself.
Yeah, sometimes, right?
Yeah,
that's true. All right, listen. I don't know where to go. There was this story I had yesterday that I did not share, and I wish I had, because I would have been ahead of the game, because today I see it's all over the place. And there's the element of surprise is gone. Dang it. Oh, and you can't open the page? Well, screw you. All right. It's that story about the Israeli scientist who taught goldfish how to drive.
Oh, I didn't read that. I noted it this morning. I didn't have a lot of time. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's the problem, though, because...
Where are you going to go?
What? You know, where's the goldfish going to go?
Right. And does the car have to be out of, underwater, or can the fish drive through a bowl?
No. The fish are in the vehicle is essentially a little goldfish bowl with on wheels. Damn it, I can't open the goddamn...
Okay, I'll do it.
So, you find it. It's Reuters lifestyle science, like fish out of water, Israeli team trains goldfish to drive. Now, I often ask people this, you know, when it comes to these science stories. Who comes up with you're sitting around and somebody says, hey... I wonder if we could teach goldfish how to drive. I mean, where does that even come from?
Yeah, I know.
What are the pragmatic, you know, they often come up, well.
Yeah, what is the benefit of teaching a goldfish to drive?
Have you found it yet? No.
No.
Anyway,
I have not.
Okay.
I can't remember where I found it. But anyway, here,
no,
I'll look it up.
Israeli scientist goldfish drive.
I'm just doing goldfish drive.
Oh. I didn't understand the science part of it, that how the hell the goldfish. But what they've learned is that they teach the goldfish through, you know, reward and whatever, how to manipulate the wheels. I mean, so that they can drive, they can propel their the thing they're in around. They can, you know,
the robotic car is fitted with LIDAR, a remote sensing technology that uses pulsed laser light to collect data on the vehicle's ground location and the fish's whereabouts inside a mounted water tank. Let's see.
Yeah, but so how do the fish somehow...
Surprisingly, it didn't take the fish a long time to learn how to drive the vehicle. They're confused at first. They don't know what's going on, but they're very quick to realize that there is a correlation between their movement and the movement of the machine that they're in, said researcher Sakar Gibbon. Six goldfish, each receiving around 10 driving lessons, took turn in the study. Each time one of them reached a target set by the researchers, it was rewarded with food. And some goldfish are better drivers than others. Go figure. The women goldfish drivers are much better. A research adjusts a fish-operated vehicle navigated by a goldfish. Oh, that's the caption.
Yeah, whatever. Okay, but so... I know there's some funny pictures with it, because there's a fish, a one goldfish in this tank, and he's moving this way and that way, and the damn thing is moving this way and that way.
Right. You can Google the test. You can watch it. You can watch it. It's
without a doubt. My
so now you got to buy your goldfish in your little pond a car.
Yeah. Well, what it tells you is they're very capable of being
Like everything else, they need stimulation.
Thank you. That was the word I couldn't find. Stimulation. They need stimulation. I always feel so sorry for a fish that's sitting in a bowl by himself going round. I mean, that's cruel and unusual. Got to be something to do. They got brains, as it turns out. See?
Yeah.
And they can figure out cause and effect. Hey, if I go over here for some reason, the whole bowl goes that way now. Unbelievable. Isn't that a great story?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, when you think of things to do during the pandemic, to sit five kids in a room and say, okay, the first one that can teach that goldfish to drive wins. And it just goes to show you that someone could have done it, see, because someone did.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Dear Lord. So, you know, they give those awards out every year, the Ig Nobel Awards,
right,
for
scientific
study,
for stupid
actual
stuff.
Study.
Right.
And I think these driving goldfish are going to be definitely nominated. Unless somewhere someone tells me what the purpose of this, other than, you know, just finding out goldfish are smarter than you think and just general frivolity and laughter. I don't know.
Well, we could have goldfish races and bet on them.
That's true. And stop and think about it. A goldfish racing. So you'd have all these vehicles, one goldfish in each one. And right, that would be cool.
I mean, we put humans on skates and reward them. Why not goldfish driving? I see.
Exactly right. Okay. I think it'd be great. All right. So there was that. And here's something else. No, I don't want to go there. It's too depressing. Did you see, speaking of video, did you see those police pulling the guy out of his crashed plane on the
right before the train hits the plane?
Literally 3 seconds as the train is barreling toward them. Jeez.
You know, and I was looking at that plane, and it looks like one of those ultralight things. And then they're pulling this huge man out of this cardboard airplane, and I'm thinking, you know, stop it already.
Well, he was in his 70s. I think of it as like our brother on his motorcycle.
Yeah, well, I feel the same way about our brother on his motorcycle. Stop it already.
So I know, enough. But imagine how, now that is a courageous act on the part of those rescuers.
Right.
They could hear and see a speeding train. That train was going a million miles an hour, it looked like. And the train engineer is
more like 60, but that's okay.
Yeah, but really blowing his whistle. And they're still desperately trying to pull this bloodied, and you see his bloodied head go by the camera.
Right.
Yeah. Whoa. So he's the luckiest guy in the world.
Well, you know, everybody was saying, as they reported on this story last night, that guy should go buy a lottery ticket. That guy should go buy a lottery ticket. I mean, I heard more than one newscaster say that. And here's what I was thinking. What do you mean he should go buy a lottery ticket? He just won. How many times do you think he deserves to win? That was him winning the lottery. I mean, it seems like
but he won twice. So, you know, yeah, he won twice. He survived the crash of his plane onto railroad tracks.
And then
he has these heroic guys pull him out.
Who are conveniently standing by, right.
Unbelievable. Really unbelievable. Man. And when that train hits, I mean, whoa. They all could have been killed by the
flying debris.
Yeah, right. So anyway, there was that, which I thought was pretty amazing. What else did I see?
Well, your mother this morning was reading the newspaper and announces to me, this is a by way of an obituary, that Sue Lombardi died. But
she
then died December 2020. She says,
oh,
but she died December 2020. And I said, but it's 2022. Why is this in the paper?
It wasn't in the obituaries, was
it? No, it was like people that died. It's like they didn't know what year it was.
It's so odd that you say this, because I was thinking, for some reason, about
Sue Lombardi.
About Susie Lombardi the other day, not too long ago. And I thought, she died. I was thinking that they're all dead except for the son. Poor Susie Lombardi. She died. It had, you said, 2 years ago, easily. Yeah.
Right. December of 2020. I'll have to go and figure out why that was in the news.
Well, it doesn't make sense.
No. That's what I was saying to Mother. Why? What? But I was in the process I think I was putting on all of the clothes that I wear to go outside, which is like a 30-minute adventure.
Right. DG writes, I love your cooking story. But secondly, I used to be a devoted Yak's Tracks user as a hiker and a dog walker. But I got tired of the springs breaking. See, mine haven't broken.
Yeah, the springs broke. Right.
Or,
does she have something better?
Or the plastic pieces falling off, or even the whole thing popping off my shoe. I now use Cautula Micro Spikes.
Ooh.
Cautula. Cautula Micro Spikes, which are much more tolerant of use. Due to their different design, I never had one pop off my shoe. They provide better traction on the ice as well. Just thought I'd pass this along.
Thank you very much. I'm looking at my... Ooh!
Does it look good?
Yeah. More
and
pricey.
And you realize now you will have to have someone post that recipe for you on Facebook without the rubber band stuff.
Okay. I'll put it on her page.
Will you, Susan?
Yeah.
Will you?
Yeah.
Thank you. Do not cover with parchment paper and rubber bands would be the final instruction.
Ooh, these look nasty. And they would have done much better on the ice. They would have. Yeah.
But the thing that of all these things that you stick on, you know, the Yak Tracks or this thing, you know, if you're walking and you're at times on clear pavement or concrete, they can be, you know, I don't know. It feels odd walking on them, right?
Yep.
Yeah, it does. And it's hard to know when you can put the, you don't want to put them on in your house with its, with hardwood floors, right? So where do you put it on? Where do you put them on and tiptoe out without making?
Well, I stand on a rug that's right in front of my door. That's what I do.
All right, Susan, the problem solver, I'm telling you. I figured this one out too, but I'll spare everybody. Oh man, I want to thank you. Speaking of peonies, somebody sent me such a beautiful picture.
Peonies?
Yes. Oh, they're so pretty. I have a peony story, come to think of it. The first time I clipped a peony and brought it into my house, it's probably 50 years ago. I was so creeped out when I saw that there were millions of ants crawling out of the peony, because the ants, I think, open the flower up. No? Am I making this up?
I think you're making it up. It doesn't require ants to open up.
I always thought, you know, each, they have so many million little, I always thought one ant saying, I'll get this one. I'll get this one up. You sort of open it. And then there's ants all over. I'm not kidding you. Is there some kind of sap or thing that the peony gives off?
I don't know. I have no
okay,
idea.
So you think I'm making this up too?
I do.
If I said, so I brought it in and there were rubber bands. Inside the peony, there was a little thing of rubber bands. I'm telling you, ants and peonies, look it up. And you can look up weeping willows and spiders as well.
Well, weeping willows and spiders I know about.
Well, I once may have had the misfortune, I'll remember till my dying day, could have been 1950-something, Heidi Miller's yard.
I remember this.
Oh, I, for some reason, went running toward this gorgeous weeping willow and grabbed hold of one of the weeping branches and sort of used it like Tarzan. And when I came down, I was covered in spiders. I thought I was going to, I almost struck dead. I really did. So what is it about spiders and weeping willows? And peonies and ants. I'm just asking.
Okay, wait a minute. I've got to look up this peonies and ants nonsense.
Here, Barbara's ahead of you. Why are there ants on my peonies? Is a question someone else asked. The answer is ants are attracted to and eat the sweet nectar secreted by the peony bud. It says right here, and the plants do not require the ants open. But before taking peonies into your house, you should turn them upside down and shake the ants out. Or it says in a bucket of water to get the ants off. Well, there you go. See, so that is true. Ants and peonies, and we know spiders for some reason, and weeping willows. I've never gone near a weeping willow tree. I mean, I just give them wide, wide berth.
Well, they're still beautiful.
Oh, they're gorgeous. But
your thing about the ants and the peonies, for crying out loud. I mean, so they're acting like an insect.
Yeah, they're doing
anything else could have crawled out that liked their nectar too.
No, but it's ants. I'm telling you, it's ants and peonies have a relationship. Of some, it's, would they go for it? Anyway, I don't bring peonies in my house anymore because that freaked me out too.
You can't let much of anything in your house anymore.
No, I'm like turning into Howard Hughes.
Yeah. Better watch your toenails.
I know. I know. I'm peeing in bottles that I leave around the house. It's right. It's frightening.
You could get a plumber, just saying.
Well, that is true. So, I know what I was looking for. Hang on. I wanted to find this because I thought it was a very funny tweet. Here it is. The war on drugs. Ha! What a crazy concept. Hey, let's spend $2 billion to fight weed. And then, look who won.
Weed.
That war on drugs was a war on marijuana.
That was
when all the kids were smoking pot and people went nuts. And so we literally spent, anytime it's, you put war in it, why don't we have war on poor education or war on bad housing? And why don't we do that? Because if you put war in the picture, the money just comes flying in. Hey, did you see the woman whose name I never know how to pronounce? The woman who was a Nobel Peace Prize winner in Myanmar.
Yeah,
she was under house arrest for
right.
And then she got out, and then she won the Nobel Peace Prize when she was under house arrest, and then she gets out and she becomes the head of the country, and then she lets all those Rohingya get murdered.
Right.
And people are thinking, wait a minute, we gave the Peace Prize to this person?
Right.
You know, increasingly that's happening. The guy in Ethiopia, who I think is now killing the Tigray, I don't know, there's a civil war brewing there, I think he got the Nobel Peace Prize. So what happens? We give somebody a Nobel Peace Prize and then they become mass murderers?
Well, no, it turns out that when they were fighting, you know, for the people they cared about, they looked all wonderful. And then when they got to where they were going, they turned around and did the exact same thing to other people. And that, I will suggest to you, is more the norm than the other.
So anyway, did you see what happened to her? Because then she got ousted.
And
thrown
in jail.
Military coup. And then she was thrown in jail again, and she just got sentenced. And guess what her crime is, though? I got to say, first of all, she got 4 years. She's been sentenced to 4 years. Now stop and think about somebody like Carl Rittenhouse, is that his name, who kills two people, almost three, and walks in this country. In Myanmar, you get 4 years for, listen to this, waving to supporters during a lockdown and having walkie-talkies.
Yeah. Because they would have killed all those people too. I mean, this is the problem. As I was driving to Mother's house yesterday, I was listening to this awful story about a massacre of German surrendering soldiers by Americans.
Ugh.
And about, I think they killed something like 90 soldiers who were trapped in the basement of a building and were surrendering. They were surrendering, and they just shot them one by one. And blah, blah, blah. So, and nothing was ever investigated, nothing. And it turns out it was seemed to be somewhat in retaliation for the Germans doing much the same to us. But during the Nuremberg trials, we tried the German commander and all of those soldiers that killed those soldiers, and we sentenced them to death. And when Eisenhower heard about this thing, that, you know, when word got out that this had happened, Eisenhower asked for a report, and none was ever forthcoming. And by the time he kept saying, "Where's the report? I want the report," the answer finally came down: the war is over. Forget it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody's doing the same stuff.
Unbelievable. So, that's the.
Well, it is, but they're doing it for the same reason. In the end, the human reaction to people that tried to kill you ends up you want to kill them.
Well, of course. All right, we need some relief here. I have some relief. For a second.
Tell us the story. Tell us another cooking story.
Etna, we're leaving the kitchen. We are not in the garden with peonies. We are on the road.
Again.
And on the road again, and again with science. Turns out that scientists here in the U.S., this is funded by the National Science Foundation, are working on, get this, building a nationwide network of, no, that's not it. Hang on. One of the reasons I don't have an electric car is that we don't have a nationwide network.
Well, you know, someone did ask that question of what happened if we had made the switch to all electric cars and that snowstorm and pileup on the highway had happened. They would have all been out of power in the first
very quickly
couple of hours and frozen to death.
Well, but not if this thing, which is still years out, they've asked a question. How about rather than bringing an electric vehicle to the charge, we bring the charge to the vehicle? And you do that by essentially magnetizing the roadway so that as the car is running on the road, it is constantly being recharged.
Cool.
That
I'll buy
that
one of them
sense?
Then. Makes total sense.
I know, although I do not understand the science of it. But there is a magnetizable concrete technology developed by the Germans that would enable the wireless charging of cars as they are driving over the roadways. And I guess there would be, like, buried under the road these charger things that would
be
right.
So electric, how do you monetize that, though? See, now you that what pays for you?
How do you monetize it?
Well, how do you pay for it? Because you're not going to power people's cars for free.
Then if you build those would be tolls then. So if you have a magnetized roadway, right, people have to pay a little bit for the charge of riding it. No?
Then what if you have a gas car and you don't need it? But it's the only road.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you the answer. The answer is, in Illinois, if you own a car that doesn't, for example, pay gas tax, which funds the roads, you simply are charged $250 a year for your share of using the roads.
Well, here's something I just found out about the Pennsylvania Turnpike. By the way, when I was in Ann Arbor at the last week of the last year, and I happened to talk to my nephew who had driven the length of the Pennsylvania Turnpike with his wife and child, and they were stunned at how expensive it was. It's unbelievable. And every year they raise it again and again and again and
again. Like $100?
I'm not sure. It was a lot. And I finally got the message. So I went and got an easy pass. And now when I do these drives, I zip right through. But here's what I found out. They've pushed all of us into the Easy Pass thing because they've gotten rid of all the collectors. And the Easy Pass ensures that you will pay for, and you get a break.
You
don't?
No.
Okay. Well, guess what? It turns out that if you don't have an Easy Pass, they simply take a picture of your car and send you a bill.
Yes.
And yes, but guess what? A huge percentage of people do not pay the bill. And guess what?
Nothing happens.
Nothing happens.
Well,
so it's idiots like me who get the Easy Pass who are paying, where if I hadn't gotten the Easy Pass and just instead breezed through and got bills that I threw in the trash, I'd be fine. They're out millions and millions and millions of dollars in unpaid tolls, and they do no enforcement. Zero.
Well, gee, I got one of those bills and I paid for it.
Well, I always pay too.
I mean, I listen. don't stop at the stop sign. It's fine. You stole money from yourself. Isn't that wonderful? Because that's what it amounts to. You know, it's our own infrastructure that we all want to be there, that we rely on being there, and then we think it's offensive that we should be asked to pay our share for using it.
That is correct. Oh, dang it. Okay, so there's this, which if this doesn't open, I'm going to scream an epithet. By the way, every time I try to get to a site on my computer, I get a warning. We can't verify the identity of the website. And it's a perfectly fine website. So what is that about? It's like I'm about to be, and I just say, screw it. I don't care if you can identify it. Get me there. And then they won't. What's that about?
I don't know. I'd restart your computer.
Yeah, I know that's what you always say. But what I have is an out-of-date, whatever you call it.
Operating system, so it's not.
Yes.
Well, maybe you need to update.
I don't know how to do any of this stuff. I so hate the world as it is constituted.
All right. You will call me after the show, and I will tell you how to update your computer.
All right. Never mind. Okay. Wait. Here it is. I hate this guy. I hate this guy. I hate this guy. Joe Effin Manchin.
Oh. You had to find an article to know this?
No, I wanted to get his quote correctly.
Thank you for adding the L-Y. It almost didn't happen.
Yeah, well, what?
You said you wanted to get the quotation correctly.
Oh, yes.
Correctly. And I thanked you for adding the L-Y. Go ahead.
So here it is. Joe Manchin tweeted this out. The tradition of the Senate here in 232 years now. We need to be very cautious what we do. Oh, he said this on the floor. That's what we have always had for 232 years. He's talking about the filibuster. This dimwit. The filibuster hasn't been around for 232 years.
He doesn't know. He makes shit up.
But how do you... that's what he's basing his refusal to get rid of it. Because it's tradition. It's like giving the finger to the brilliant founding fathers. Actually, the founding fathers went out of their way to make sure there wasn't something like the filibuster.
That's right. This was... I mean, how can you not know that this was I think Reconstructionist stuff about, you know, ways to keep to make sure that civil rights didn't happen.
Yeah. It was used frequently by racists to block.
It was created by racists to block.
So, this is where he goes when you say, we can't, it's tradition. And in fact, the filibuster has been messed with over and over again. It's been changed for this and changed for that. It was most recently changed, I think, wasn't it changed during the Clinton administration? It is the supermajority crap. It doesn't exist. By the way, here's an interesting fact. There is not a state legislature in this country that patterned itself after the U.S. Senate in having something like this filibuster.
No, nope.
Not a one. Not a one. 50 states said, what? Why would we do that? It's like absurd. And it actually prevents the Senate from functioning. It simply doesn't function anymore. So it's unable to do the job that supposedly the Senate is to do, which I believe is legislate.
Well, there's been precious little of any of that happening for years.
Well, because the Republicans won't allow it. Oh, God. Ed says driving the entire length of the turnpike will cost, get ready, Susan, $112.
Yep. I seem to remember, one of the times that I drove to you, paying like $20 at a stop and thinking, whoa, you know.
$112. Now, that is prohibitive for some people.
Yeah.
And I'm sure some people can't even use the turnpike as a result. They must take, other routes.
Well, no, you just told them how to do it. Drive through.
Well, yeah, or you can do that. And you know what the Turnpike Commission just did? After announcing that they were not collecting like $100 million, I'm not kidding you, like $100 million in unpaid tolls, what they did instead was raise the rate again, 5% this year, every year. So 112, that's in your rearview mirror already. It's going to be more. And they could lower the damn thing if they collect. But I guess it's hard to collect from people. They're all over the country, right?
Right. Well, what are they going to do? I mean, I remember when I got when red light cameras first came out in Missouri years ago. And I got a red light camera, except it was just on the license plate, and they were dinging my, they were assuming I was driving this car. And I said, wait a minute, this is a family car. Until you can tell me who is responsible for driving the car that day, you don't get to just say, you got to turn yourself in. You got to tell me who was driving the car. There's a constitution in this country, and this doesn't fit. So they just kept sending, they finally had this collection law firm in some other state. And I said, shame on you. You're a law firm. You're talking to a lawyer. You know you don't have a legal leg to stand on. No, I won't pay it. And then I think the following year, some judge in a class action suit said exactly that. Sorry. So that was one time that I did it, but I did it, thinking, no, this is just flat out illegal, this bill, and I'm not paying it.
Aha! Hey, Barbara sent me something interesting here about the war on drugs. It was never about drugs, of course. Well, but listen to this. Before he died, Tricky Dick Nixon's former assistant, John Ehrlichman, said this. The Nixon campaign in 68 and the Nixon White House after that had two enemies, the anti-war left and black people.
Right.
You understand what I'm – wait. Hey, listen, this is Ehrlichman talking. You understand what I'm saying? We knew we couldn't make it illegal to be either against the war or black. But by getting the public to associate the hippies with marijuana and blacks with heroin, and then criminalizing both heavily, we could disrupt those communities. We could arrest their leaders, raid their homes, break up their meetings, and vilify them night after night on the evening news. Did we know we were lying about the drugs? Of course we did. He told that to an author, Dan Baum. Whoa!
Yeah, how many
whoa!
How many people were spent their life in prison because they were lying?
Still are. Our jails are still full of people who are there because they're smoking pot.
They're supposed to be pretty much out by now.
No, they're not, Suze. They're not.
That they're supposed to be.
They're still arresting them here.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
still arresting him for possession. Boy, I'll give Ehrlichman this. He just flat laid it out there. Isn't that something? We couldn't make it illegal to be black or against the war. But we could, and this again, with the aid and abetting by the media, have this constant picture of, yes, stoned hippies, and every drug arrest seems to be black people or long-haired people, right? Wow.
Remember Uncle Louie bursting into tears when he saw Bill with long hair?
Yeah. Well, remember Bill writing a saga poem about Uncle Louie being me in the Walgreens on Michigan Avenue in Chicago and being appalled. Who? And Bill wrote a poem called The Hippie Rotten Puss.
I'd forgotten about
that. Oh, yeah, rotten. Right. Uncle right there. We had my father's brother, Uncle Louie, who lived in Chicago. And he was a...
Uncle Louie was famous for giving, like, wondrous advice, like, if you're lost, just turn around and go home.
Yeah, he was unique and sad in many ways. But he was so appalled by, us in the 60s. And so, yeah, Bill wrote this funny poem. I wonder if it still exists anymore, where he made Louie into a knight, a K-N-I-G-H-T, who took on the vile hippie rotten puss, who was me. And I remember lines like, Sir Louie, Sir Louie, do not venture near. Laura says she went on the Pennsylvania Turnpike website, and it says here that your car registration could be suspended if there's unpaid tolls of $500 or more. But tell me this. That might be true for a
Pennsylvanian. They can't do it to anybody else.
No. And they're not even bothering to do it to the Pennsylvanians. And then Laura says, I'm enjoying the show today, hoping for a wonderful 2022. Well, listen, don't overreach there, Laura. Laura, by the way.
I'm still stuck on the she's enjoying the show today. I had honestly been sitting here thinking, geez, we gotta think of something to talk about here.
No, it's almost over. We don't.
Oh, we don't? Cool.
No. And Laura writes, I'm going to retire. Oh, you're going to retire. Laura is the mainstay of the University of Michigan Law School.
Oh, no, that Laura.
Where she, that Laura, who is was our brother's secretary, as well as a ton of other law professors there. And she is relied upon. The whole University of Michigan Law School is about to come down. This is what keeps her running. She's retiring. Because it's scary thinking about not working, but I'm ready. Like Bill, I feel like I'm losing it. Yeah, my daughter said it's job boredom. Well, that might be too. We're all losing it. None of us have it as much as we did. I mean, it's just that's the reality.
Losing what?
And your marbles. He wrote a book called Losing It.
Okay, you didn't get my joke. Never mind.
Oh. What did you say? Losing what?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you said?
Uh-huh.
And that was the joke?
Yes.
What did that mean? Losing what?
My marbles. my mind.
My hair?
No, it's just my hair, my anything. It just meant that, never mind, if one has to explain it.
Susan, that's right. And Susan wants to take this opportunity to apologize to all of you for what she thinks has been a horrific show today.
Yes, thank you. I was wondering, oh no, now what did I do?
No,
I'm so beyond it that I don't even know what I did. Well, that's right. I do apologize because I do not think that we were up to our charming, sparkling. I think after the goldfish driving, we were in
deep trouble.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that may well be. That may well be. This is true. I blame it on me. I could tell when the show began. I didn't have. You know how you can tell when you have your stuff together, and I blame it specifically on the way I woke up this morning. Normally, I wake up kind of slowly. I anticipate the alarm, so I wake up before it because I hate the alarm. And then I'm able to disengage it and not have to suffer that horrible way to wake up, you know, like, bah! And today it was a bah! Kind of a wake up. And I was stunned. I was stunned out of a deep sleep. And I never quite recovered. I'm not kidding you. I never recovered. Natural awakening. Yeah.
I'm sorry. Gee. Princess and the Pea. This is why I don't like alarms, by the way, because I
hate them.
Because if I set an alarm, I wake up 2 hours before the alarm.
Yeah,
let
right.
The exactly. alarm wake me up. Because
exactly.
If the alarm wakes me up, that's what happens to me.
Yeah, yeah. You awake. I mean, that's no way to be awakened. You know, where you literally jump 20 feet out of.
Oh, but and it does remind me of something that I saw yesterday, which was a 13th century alarm clock. That had you put a little bit of gunpowder in this thing, and it had a flint thing, and at the time that you set the alarm for, it would ignite that little bit of gunpowder.
Come on,
honest to God, it was a 13th century. I mean, it didn't shoot anybody; it just went pop, you know, like a cap pistol.
Come on, where'd you see that? I didn't even know they had clocks. Wait a minute. Really?
I'll try and
12th
send it
century?
To you.
Yeah.
13th century.
All right. So, okay. Well, the 1200s.
That makes a huge difference, 100 years.
Oh, man. All right. So, I have one thing to leave you with. In December 2020, women lost 156,000 jobs in the United States. Men gained 16,000. Why?
Why?
Well, let's set the date again. December 2020, in the middle of a pandemic. Women's jobs are sacrificed.
Oh, right.
Because women end up shouldering the additional caregiving.
Well, they had to stay home with their kids.
Yeah. So they lose their jobs. And you wonder when women don't, you know, rock. Because, and men actually increase their jobs.
Pandemic was good for me.
Also, did you see the hoo-ha about the Canadian husband?
Yes, yes, yes.
And you know what? I saw it and initially thought, what a jerk. I had that same reaction, not over jerky. He had a picture of his wife taken from the comfort of his home.
In Canada.
His wife shoveling the driveway.
After coming in from her overnight shift as a nurse.
Dang. Oh, my wife. What a woman. After a 12-hour shift as a nurse, she comes home and Yeah, shovels the driveway. I think I'll go make her breakfast. And all hell broke loose. I mean, this guy, there were, yeah, women going to, like, kill him. And the wife ended up having to get on social media and say, guys, I came home and I thought, I'm going to shovel the driveway because I like to shovel. I'd be outdoors. It would allow me to decompress from having been stuck in the hospital for 12 hours. I was enjoying myself.
And she pointed out that no one would have said boo if a woman had done that about her man.
Yeah.
And she explained that in their family, there weren't genders assigned to specific jobs, i.e. her husband could cook her breakfast while she enjoyed shoveling.
Right.
And then people started to apologize. Say, oh,
yes, they did. They did. And it shows how, you know, the way social media works is you just jump immediately and react immediately. But that reminded me of right after I moved into the house I'm in now, of me shoveling the driveway one day. And this older man, gee, I thought he was old then. He's still, God. He came walking down the street and said to me, what are you doing? I said, I'm shoveling the driveway. He said, no one around here shovels their driveways. The thing being that I guess you have your driveway shovel.
We got people right? for that.
Yeah.
Who are your people?
Well, I said, well, I shovel. I said, and I was just stunned by him saying that. I said, I come from a long line of shovelers. Dad never shoveled.
No, Mom and the
never.
Kids shoveled.
Do you remember Dad ever shoveling?
Never. But never. I remember Mom out there and Bill.
Yeah.
Bill did most of it, really.
Yeah. Yeah. I was walking by a house the other day that hadn't shoveled their sidewalk, and it was icy. And I know they have two teenage boys. And I thought, what the hell?
It's not wrong to put a little note in their box reminding them they can get sued.
Here's why I don't. Because now they'll know who stuck it there because they all have cameras on you. I've often thought about sticking a note on in someone's, hey, by the way, blah, 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 like, or stop parking on the sidewalk, you jerks. And now they'll put you up on Nextdoor or Twitter and say, this is my obnoxious neighbor. Yeah. No, you can't do it. You're under, surveillance.
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Okay, well, listen, we went over on this.
Bliss?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm going to give it a C+. I am. It's not. It wasn't a total.
Bottom. Okay. It was all right. Okay.
C+. Maybe if you're, in a good mood, B-. If the alarm hadn't awakened me, I'd maybe. But I don't know. Sorry, guys. Sometimes you're on, sometimes you're off. Anyway, Suze, will you post that on my Facebook?
Yes, page? I will. I will. Okay.
It's good, guys. Just
I'll put it up.
Okay.
It'll be in the comments.
I don't know. I don't even know what that means. I've never been to the Facebook page. How am I still functioning in this world?
Well, I don't.
Turns out
not very well.
No, not very well. I'm barely, barely functioning. It's okay. It's all right. Okay, guys, thank you so very much. Susan, thank you very much. And bye. Bye.
Lynn Cullen Live. Monday through Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. and archived at pghcitypaper.com. The opinions expressed on Lynn Cullen Live are those of the host and do not necessarily reflect the viewpoints of Pittsburgh City Paper or its advertisers.